another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com.
It's time to cool it out, baby.
Bring us in gently.
Twin Cities Tank! I'm Pete.
So it's not gentle.
Over there is Mr. Brent.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, Brent?
Everything. So much shit. It's a white hot Thursday.
Really? Start from the beginning.
Well, my friend Pete has the birthday today.
No.
Oh, then nothing.
That's tomorrow.
Then nothing.
Yeah, donuts. Today we have...
Are you going to just gloss over the fact that you're turning 30 in like 45 minutes?
I don't fucking care.
I care.
No one cares about 30.
It's a milestone.
Everyone else cares about 30 except me.
Well, here's what I care about. You'll probably not want to hear this, but I thought you'd be dead by now.
Yeah, well, so did I.
Via suicide.
When I was a teenager, I thought I was going to be dead by 18. And I didn't
18
care.
Is still a teenager.
I was okay with that. Well, yeah, technically, but you're an adult, and you can die when you're an adult. That's legal, right?
How awesome would it be if we, like, 11th houred it and you died in the next for 53 minutes?
Oh, yeah. If I died at 11:59, I would never be 30.
You'd never have to deal with the horseshit of being a 30-year-old man.
Fucking A right.
All right.
All right, well, let's turn to the left here, my left. We have... Mikey McCaller, or as I know him, Mikey McCheese.
Oh,
go ahead
boy.
And say hi.
Hello, everyone.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Should I talk dramatic like this the whole time, like a Kelsey Grammer?
Is there any way we
can
really go back?
You're not really pulling off the Kelsey Grammer thing, but you could try.
Listen, I have regular talking and Kelsey Grammer talking, and just whenever there's a different accent, that's I really it's Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, is there anything in between? Like, is there like a, I don't know, like a Michael McKean or something?
No, Again, every British accent, I assume, is Kelsey Grammer. I watch the X-Men movies, and then Kelsey Grammer in a wheelchair is talking to Kelsey Grammer in a weird helmet.
It was hard to cast those parts, because Kelsey Grammer, I mean...
He had to Norbit it.
Wow. And you live in Hollywood. Great.
So, Mikey is from here originally.
Mm-hmm.
You, for many years, were writing webcomics.
Yep.
When I first met you.
That was the first thing I did.
Yeah, and then you went to MCAD, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call it?
The Minneapolis College of Art and Design.
Okay, and then you became like a really good drawer, and you moved to Hollywood.
Yes.
Is that how you pitched yourself when you got there? I'm a really good drawer.
I just became a really good drawer.
Oh, Jesus.
You this, were all this... like, what up, Hulk Hogan? Let me draw your face.
He's like, I don't think so. And you're like, no. Turns out I'm a really good drawer. And he said, I don't know why I did a Macho Man voice for Hulk Hogan. Sorry about that.
No, yeah. Again, that's just the pro wrestling voice.
It is. It really is.
You go British, you go Kelsey Grammer, you go angry, it's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. You could talk any pro wrestling voice. What does Yokozuna sound like?
Oh, yeah. Body slam me, Ultra. Off to a bad start.
So, yeah, when you first moved out there, didn't you start storyboarding for a show or something like that?
I did.
Is that different than waterboarding?
Equally torturous.
Is it different than wakeboarding?
No, it's you do it while wakeboarding.
Jesus, what a cool life.
Yeah.
I'm in the boarding career.
In the boarding field.
It's really just another day at the office when I board an airplane.
How dare you?
Go to condemned buildings and board up the windows.
Are you making a pun out of my pun? You rotten son of a bitch.
We're inceptioning that pun. No, I did some illustrations for a webisode for AMC's Breaking Bad.
Oh,
okay.
Which
really?
Was a cool thing to do.
Yeah. I've seen the first few of those episodes.
That's a show that human beings should be watching. Like, it's not like this is meant for the type of person who really enjoys the work of this certain. No, shut up. You should be watching Breaking Bad.
I think we just got yelled at.
I'm sorry.
Where am I at if I have all of them in my Netflix queue, but I haven't got there yet? I'm on the way, right?
You have a lot of potential, Brent. You're a shining star ready to burn bright.
Let me ask you this, Brent.
Go ahead.
How do you feel about meth?
Me? Do I have to do any?
Yes. No.
Oh, then yes. Wait a minute. Start over.
No.
All right.
This is how they get you to buy timeshares.
Yeah. So they get you to convert to Scientology, too. Propositions of meth and then weird circular questioning.
Yes.
Wow. So you were storyboarding, huh?
Yes. That is true. No, I did some storyboards, and then I did the illustrations, and it got animated and put on the AMC website.
That's wow. Awesome.
So that was a cool project to do.
Is there a website we can go to see this?
That, for sure, is on AMC.com /Breaking Bad, probably.
Probably. / Mikey McCheese.
Yes.
So then started, last time I talked to you, you were doing stuff at the UCB, is that right?
I was. Yes, I did some sketch writing and some improvisational brand of comedy.
So you're just kind of stuffing your foot right
there. You know what, we're kind of on a time crunch here. Will you just say improv from now on?
I don't think that gives the form its due.
You're right. I apologize. We call these P-casts also, for the same reason. Fuck you guys.
Fucking A.
UCB Theater's Upright Citizens Brigade Theater.
Yeah, it is.
And we're off.
It's a fun thing.
Sure.
So it forced me into screenwriting, which I am bad at self-motivating on, and so I got to go and mount some sketches up there and get on stage myself and be funny in the moment, and it was as frightening as something can be, as terrible as an experience is.
Getting on stage, is that something you didn't do before you?
Yes, no, never.
Really?
Never.
Humble cheese grater never got up on stage?
Oh, we're digging deep into the archives, huh?
Humble Cheese Grater is Mikey's old punk band.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yes, sir.
A lot of shit with you directs linearly with cheese. Is there something?
No, two things. And that's
a lot for me.
That's the cheese cap.
I say a lot of times I'll say I have a lot of balls.
What's a cheese cap?
The cheese cap is when I literally reach the amount of cheese references in my work that I can
And then you flush
stomach.
It out and start over?
Mm-hmm.
You're a real artist, man. So you're not a performer by trade, you're a writer, but in order to kind of hone your writing chops, they suggest you get on stage.
Yeah. I imagine there's some sort of connection there. I
haven't found it yet.
It's coming.
But maybe it makes it, it's kind of like a painter and a muse. It's kind of like, if you know your subject, who you're writing for, or at least have some sort of relation to who you're writing for or who your performer is. You can, I'm just speculating, but dude, help me out here.
No, that's probably it.
People, who are these people telling you to perform improv and also try and write script?
You know what? That actually, what you just said was on the syllabus of the improv class.
See what I just said?
It's probably about learning your...
Get the fuck out of here. Everything you're doing in here is stupid.
.. painter. .. muse. There's a lot of question marks.
A lot of fucks, a lot of ums. A couple of middle fingers, a thumbs down.
Parentheticals, and we all just...
And it ends with a karate kick, like every other sentence I ever say. No, but it seems like a hard sell to be like... because writing is very... I don't want to say it's four wall, but it's very boxed to what you can say and what you can.
Yeah, I think it's about understanding clearly in the moment what you're trying to say and getting it out there.
Sure.
A lot of times in writing, young writers are very ambiguous, and they'll write a screenplay and they'll describe the walls as a loving opaqueness, and that if the reader really knows what they're talking about, they'll understand that that's a symbol for the inner turmoil and the light versus dark interplay. Ugh. No, fuck that.
I just fell asleep four times in that sentence.
That's the correct response to that. It's terrible writing. It's like you've got to be clear. You've got to say what you're thinking and put it in one sentence and not be a dick.
So is it safe to say that a lot of it is knowing what not to write?
Mm-hmm.
I fucking always wanted to say that. I always wanted
to
sell that.
It's like improvisational jazz. It's the words you don't write.
Woo. Right.
I'm going to go take a break.
So if you're writing something about hot dogs, don't put the word hot dogs in it.
No. Put the word hot dog, man. But just don't put bun, baby.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. No, but I mean, it's like that's whenever I watch a show like something, like 30 Rock or something that's very dialogue-based, it always amazes
very
me. Like,
calculated.
Well, it always amazes me how much fat is cut off. I mean, you could like if I could extrapolate a conversation that they have in like two sentences into like a paragraph, and it would be the longest, dumbest mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah,
it's weird. Like that's that whole like putting it in parameters. Like that's probably half of what they want you to learn mm-hmm. in the in the context of...
Because in film and screenwriting, you don't have your imagination. You're being shown everything. You have to be, like, exactly necessary. Mm-hmm. So you don't have time to kind of give your character some flavor dialogue. And what are you going to order at this restaurant here? I'm going to get some tacos. That sounds great. No, you get to the point.
So it's a mafia. It's a mafia guy you're writing for?
That's the one character I got.
That was a mafia accent?
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm going to order some tacos here, man.
Mafia guys don't eat tacos? Or maybe they do.
Yes, they goddamn do.
Everyone
Didn't you ever see the Spanish Sopranos?
Is there a Mexican mafia?
Didn't you ever see the Spanpranos? I got nothing. Okay, moving forward.
Mexapranos?
I'm so glad it's your birthday. I'd punch you in the mouth right now. So what's the next step then? How do you take these things that you're learning to parlay into a screenwriting? Or is it something that you want to do? Is the end game film or is it TV or
TV.
Is it sketch?
TV. It's definitely TV.
Okay.
And it's I think it's all about networking and serendipity at this point. Okay. Like
cross your fingers and nice to everyone.
You go to parties and thankfully I've long had a skill where when people are ridiculous I can laugh about it as opposed to being upset about it.
Mm-hmm. So you're gonna go leave here and laugh.
So
then, right?
Wait a minute. Mm. So you go to these Hollywood parties and you just see people being ridiculous and you just go, wow, what a jackass.
I have a little smirk and then I continue talking about them and sometimes like
that's why you're doing that.
It's the amount of incredulity that you give them that is, really, you think that's the way you should be living your life, passing out business cards?
Well, let's give us an example. Do you meet a guy like this?
Yes, I went
What's his name?
His name is...
You don't have to say his name.
I've got his business card. I can get
give
it out.
Me. Pull it out. Let's see what the
His name is Arnold Schwartz and Short... I don't know. I can't pronounce it.
Quiet.
Sorry.
Mikey's bossing you around today, bro.
I don't mean to.
It feels good. You should have seen what happened before you got here. He took two swings at me and shoved a Pop-Tart in my mouth.
Wow.
Brent,
what kind of Pop-Tart?
Your ottoman is not adequate. I need you to get on all fours so
I have an ottoman?
Somewhere to be.
You know what this is?
I don't know.
No, it's not okay. I need a human.
Don't you know I'm from Hollywood and I demand things? Does the line, I moved out here to be a screenwriter, get you laid anymore?
No.
Wow.
It gets you a big frown.
Oh, man. Well. Go ahead.
Because everyone moved out to Hollywood to be a screenwriter.
Yeah, but when you come back here, then you don't go like, oh, I'm in Hollywood, I'm writing. And then you just get, your penis in a mouth.
It's a goddamn homing missile into those mouths. Holy Christ.
So anyways, I interrupted you. What happens at these parties?
These parties, people, they're one of two ways that people will go. They're either, like, super into the party, and they're like, I love this. I love Hollywood. I love networking. And look at how shimmery my top is.
Wow.
And
those exciting. Are the guys.
Yeah. And then the ladies, they,
I think you go a little something like this.
No, but then the other way to go about it is that they hate it, but they still like, yeah, this party kind of sucks, but you seem cool, so we should definitely, I would like to see your writing, and maybe you can help me with my ideas.
It's just part of the job, baby. I gotta come to these things. Do you say baby a lot when you're out there?
No, you're required to.
Okay, good.
You have a baby quota.
Good.
You say brother a lot?
No.
It's kind of like where you...
What's new, brother?
No, that is frowned upon.
Oh.
Every time you say brother, you get one more baby.
But bro is still cool, right?
Yeah, bro's good.
Bro's never gonna go out of style.
It's bro's acceptable whenever you're playing games.
So the hierarchy is bro, baby, brother.
What about cocaine? Where does that come in?
In your nose. It goes in your nose.
Yeah. A lot of coke?
Lot you of can coke mainline parties. It, though. You can actually keister it if you need to.
Yeah, it's true.
I have not run into coke yet. I haven't.
Weird.
I've run into every other Hollywood stereotype, but I haven't seen any coke or drugs at parties.
Not even pot?
I've seen... No.
What the hell?
Maybe pot. But...
Hollywood's apparently a big fat homo now. What's going on out there?
We asked you to go to Hollywood and bring us back a report, and this is what you give us?
I've been mostly going to Christian parties.
Business cards, theater writing.
They have really good orange juice that's kind of watery.
I think it's from a can.
Let's bring it up to speed here. You contacted me about a month ago asking for Brody Hoofer, who's been on this program before. Go back and look it up.
Oh, this is the good part.
Yeah, you wanted his contact info because you're writing a sitcom about wrestling.
Yes.
All right. Talk about that.
In the same way that The West Wing is about politics, but it's really about the backstage of politics, I want people having discussions about pro wrestling because... I don't know. I watch something like UFC, and they're great at promoting fights. But if something goes wrong and, like, your top star loses to some unknown, then you're kind of screwed for the next year. But, you know, that's kind of the unpredictability. Okay, fair enough. Wrestling, you can choose who wins, but for some reason they have no idea how to promote fights and make them matter. Like, why can't that narrative be being told and crafted? And I think that wrestling in and of itself could be a great storytelling medium.
And there's such a disparity in the fan base where, like, UFC is like... And I'll just go on record and say I fucking hate UFC, but like it's such like it's the coolest thing in the world. Like it's so cool. Like all the fucking jocks like it. All the fucking everybody loves it. But wrestling kind of dorky, and it shouldn't be that way. I don't think. I think if you told the story of how like you know you get from the pen to the paper to the fucking dudes on fucking roids beating each other's ass up. It's going to be an awesome story. I'm being dead serious. If this show existed 20 years ago when I was a kid, the only question you'd be asking is how so much semen could come out of one 12-year-old boy. Like that's I would just love a show like that. I think it's awesome, and I think there's such a huge...
I am stunned by what was just said.
No, I think there's such
I'm stunned at how much of a non-sequitur it was.
No, I think I would... Well, here, let me put it to you in
layman's terms. He just masturbates to good
I would jack
drama.
Off to a wrestling show. No, I just think it would be something that I think they...
So wrestling is dorky, but anyways, when I was 12,
I loved wrestling when I was a kid. I loved it so much, and if there was a show that was like, hey, you know... There was like this cartoon. Did you remember like Hulk Hogan and the Gang? Like,
yes.
It was like a cartoon. Like Junkyard Dog, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, like Big Johnson, all these fucking people who are more or less degenerates. But there was a cartoon, and you were like, "Fuck it, that's as close as you could get to the behind the scenes of wrestling." Every now and then, they do like an interview from like the fucking you know dump truck that Tito Santana drives or so whatever the fuck, and you'd be like, "Wow, that's like behind the scenes shit." Like to actually like have a show that like got in there like 30 Rock and had like a behind the scenes kind of thing. I think it's a tough sell, but it's awesome. I think it's good. I think it's a good. I think. I mean, if you know anything, and I'm sure you do, about the underbelly of professional wrestling, it is the most degenerative. It makes an AC/DC backstage look like fucking confirmation. Well, we both went to church on that one. No, I think it, whatever. I'll let you sell it. But.
So yeah, what is sort of? Do you have any of the ideas, or can you even talk about it, or what's
I
your,
think I can. I think the idea is that throughout the pilot in the first episode, the main character is a new writer. On the show and has...
Is there like a Vince McMahon character that's like...
Yes, there is. And he...
His name is Rick McHoof. I just made that up now. You can use that though.
No, I wrote that down. I will write that down.
I put a pre, you're welcome. I sent a text to you.
Okay. I read a description of Heath Ledger's Joker one time that he always looked like his brain, like his synapses were firing, that he was always thinking. And I love that idea of like this pro wrestling.
It could just be cocaine too.
I love the idea of somebody's brain working overtime is just as he's making decisions. So that's my Vince McMahon character. He's like in charge, and he's always just his brain is going and firing, and he's indecisive. So he's going back and forth. And the pilot will revolve around this wrestler's match, who's like a little guy in pro wrestling. A lot of times in the big leagues.
Sorry.
You keep talking about doink and dink. If somebody mentions hockey and someone goes, "Yeah, I like Wayne Gretzky." If somebody goes, "I like wrestling," Pete goes, "Yeah, I love Doink the Clown."
Gobbledygooker.
Whatever. Doink and dink. That's your reference for wrestling. Sorry.
But yeah, no, I think that the first episode is about trying to get a little wrestler to win over a big wrestler and convincing the boss that that's something that people will buy.
Sure. It's like Entourage, but for wrestling.
Mm-hmm. And
30 Rock, but for wrestling.
It's like Breaking Bad but for wrestling.
Fuck off, Brent. Fuck off.
No, I think if... Here's the thing. We were talking about this earlier before Pete got here. People, if somebody gives a half-assed performance in a movie, if somebody says, like, Name some bullshit actor that nobody cares about. George Clooney.
John Delucci.
John Delicious.
John Delicious.
No, let's say, you know, let's
Animal Douse.
Let's just say, like, Animal House. No, you know,
John Desfroinleven.
This is obviously going to derail, but let's just say, like, Adam Sandler when he was in...
Caramel Buttnuts.
He was not in that. He was in Punch Drunk Love. And everybody was like, wow, you know, because he's not being a goofball, everyone's like, wow, he's a pretty good actor, right? Because he doesn't suck. These guys are like some of the best actors on the planet. And like the only response is like, eh, fuck them. All they do is fucking fake kick each other's cunts in. But like, you know, you go watch The Expendables and that's all they do is like fake beat each other up. But like if two guys do it in a ring, it's like, eh. But they're like the best like physical actors. And some of them can actually, you know... Whatever, I'm not going to sell wrestling to you, but it's like all like the stigma of professional wrestling is like, yeah, a bunch of fucking creeps. Who gives a shit? They're not dead, but like they're good as fuck actors for what they do. Like,
there's no asshole who's like watching Seven and is just like, Gwyneth Paltrow's head wasn't in that fucking box.
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow probably said that.
She's method.
Okay, sorry. Say meth head.
Yeah, where's the coke? Let's play a song. This is a band called Paragraphs. All right, bye. They are coming out with a new record soon. I think this month. He said next month, but he sent me that last month.
I don't know how you want to work that out. That's your problem now.
Well, go.
Can we email him really quick and get an answer by the end of the show?
We'll just wait.
No.
Just wait until it comes back.
We cannot.
Before we left, we were talking to Mikey about wrestlers not getting enough credit for being good actors. How do you parlay this into a screenwriting thing? I mean, are you going to make them dramatic characters, actually talented individuals, meth heads, freak shows? What are we talking here?
I think all of those things.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I think you do one episode about the guy whose career is washed up, and he's just struggling to hang on.
Jake the Snake.
And then that is absolutely Jake the
Snake.
Sure. Yeah. And then you do the guy who's the drug addict, and you do the guy
Jake
who's an egomaniac.
Jake the Snake. This is a pretty...
It's just Jake. I would watch a show about Jake the Snake. I mean, let's
what's
be
it
honest.
Called? It's called Jake the Snake. Oh.
Yeah, Jake the Snake's going to Norbit all the parts.
We have a two Norbit rule on this show. You've exercised both of yours. Is it what angle are you, do you attack this from? I know you have a comedy background. Are you going to attack this from? Are we talking funny here?
I like the idea of when the wrestlers are out performing for the crowd, they're exaggerated and kind of cartoony, and they can do like less realistic humor. And then
are you implying that the way wrestlers talk is not the way real people talk?
It's kind of how it works out. I watch even just like when The Rock will go on Jay Leno, his hand like slaps the air as he talks, and it's just like really uncomfortable. And
yeah, he wants to fight motherfuckers even now. Did you see like the press he did for the Tooth Fairy? He killed two men during that. Sorry, I don't mean to derail you. Let's go back.
No, you're right.
But it's a weird.
I much more prefer talking about The Rock murdering people while he's promoting his PG-rated adventure comedy romp.
This is how I picture the press conference going. Rock, and he goes, John, yeah, and he goes, what's the premise of the movie? He goes, well, basically, I'm a guy. I play hockey. What'd you say, motherfucker? And then he mule kicks a guy, and then he fucking choke slams another guy into another guy's wife, and the wife explodes. And he takes the goo that was the wife, and he drowns another guy with it. You're writing this down, right?
All up in the brain, baby.
So wrestlers.
How did somebody become goo?
That's an exploded wife.
It was unfortunate choke slam / wife incident. But it seems like, I mean, wrestling in the the zeitgeist is it's a kind of a cartoonish thing. I mean, can you make it? These are real human beings. Like, these are real actual people.
That's the challenge.
That's your challenge.
Yeah, it is my challenge. Can I make people care about something that for so long has been derided as childish and false? And I think I can. I think that there's like a strong narrative you can get to there, and it can be inspiring. And, and one man's quest to become both the top star can play out parallel in the ring as his quest to become the champion. I think that's a great story.
But what's like this?
Explanations end.
The as well they should. If you don't speed bump yourself, who's going to? Oh, that's right, me. Like if you saw the Bret Hart thing we were talking about, the Bret the Hitman Hart documentary. But he's promised that he's going to win in front of his hometown fans, and Vince McMahon pulls the old fucking Mr. Burns and fucks him over, and he gets beat by, was it Mr. Perfect or Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels.
And he goes back, and it's never been really revealed, but apparently he old school fucks up Vince McMahon behind closed doors. Maybe it slaps him a little bit.
I think he punched him in the mouth.
Sure. Yeah. In the mind?
In the...
Whatever. But something like that,
he just told him a really hard riddle.
He's like, "There's two guys fucking." But some baseball, something like that. If let's say you have a problem with the guys in charge, the GMs, the coaches and stuff, you go out there and you just perform as good as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like you go out there, I'm gonna hit 70 home runs a game. That's how I roll, baby. Is that possible? It could. Something like wrestling, like that, you're really under the control of one person. So even if you fucking hate that guy, that guy's in control of your future.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you exact revenge? How does
it's a politics game. It's
basically
like,
I want to know the ending before I know the beginning. How does the whole thing end?
What's the last episode?
Yeah, no, I don't know the answer to that. And I think it's about working really hard and out in the ring and putting on your best performance, and then also, like any job, playing politics backstage.
Yeah.
Probably to a greater extent in pro wrestling, because this guy is writing for you and there's not much you can do if you want to break out. So, yeah.
Like it with acne? That's a dumb joke.
No, I liked it. I'm going to put my backing behind that joke.
Like Bob the Hobo? Who was that guy you made up last week?
Bob the Wrestling Hobo.
If Bob's in the middle and he's like, and everyone's like, yeah, well, Bob's just going to go get his ass kicked by like Turkish Dave Osborne. Like...
Well, Bob's major problem is that he can't make any money in wrestling because otherwise he would stop being a hobo.
So it's a quagmire of epic proportions.
There was really like a golden era of pro wrestlers having two careers at the same time. What was that about? They used to be like garbage men too.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the Brooklyn.
Chris Barnes is a pizza delivery guy.
It's Chris Barnes, the singer from 6 Feet Under.
Yes.
What?
He's actually still a pizza delivery guy.
What is going on with this fucking podcast? So Bob the Wrestling Hobo is really in it. He's backed into a corner. If he succeeds, then he's just Bob the Wrestler.
Right, then he's like, becomes the $1 million man or whatever. Or what, it could become some kind of trading places kind of deal.
So he's got to comfortably lose to be a winner.
Right.
Or something.
Or he could just hide all his assets in like a Cayman Islands account or something.
Hobos don't have those, man.
Well, they do if they're trying to stay hobos.
No, that's the
opposite. Think that hobo standing out there on the exit ramp to 94 doesn't have a Cayman Islands account? He's just trying to get extra cash.
The one with the sign that says, please kill me. That
yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, this might be a good time to get off of hobos and maybe play a song.
No. Okay.
No, don't.
Here's High Hopes.
High Hopes?
I have high hopes that Brent is gonna die.
You're running mouth, mouth.
It's a band.
It's a band. They're all named Hope, and they're all fucking stoners.
That's not true.
Let's edit that part out. We're gonna have a junk bin of all my shit jokes that didn't work after this show.
That's going on the 20th anniversary retrospective.
Yes.
Exactly. What Brent said that he shouldn't have.
Absolutely.
19 years before he died.
Yes. Okay. We got a new topic. That's how you introduce a new topic
on
a radio show. You just announce.
This is old school transitioning. This is fucking like Janine Garofalo style transitioning. Next joke.
So this was weird. I noticed this the other day.
Really? Really?
Really?
He's holding his notebook.
So, as loyal listeners to the show, which there are like three, quit. I became sober in May. And
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. I recently sort of cheated on that when I went up north to the world's most amazing cabin. And...
Pete's fucking shroom dungeon.
Yeah, I did mushrooms up there, and it was fucking awesome.
Ooh.
Let's walk us through it.
Well, basically, imagine canoeing very easily.
Not hard for me.
Nice little canoe trip.
Sure.
Real nice little one. Real easy. And
the canoe is little or the trip is little?
The trip. And then you go to a cabin out in the middle of the woods.
Take me there.
That has a sauna. Have you ever sauna'd before? Like, really sauna'd?
I think every time I've ever been in a sauna, I was so anxious to get the fuck out of a sauna because
right.
I hate hot.
Right, yes. I was the same way. And I had been in, like, shitty saunas or, like, ones at the gym that are all, like, full of naked old guys. And,
Wait a minute.
Yeah. This one had a naked old guy in it, but that was Stacy's dad.
But now it was you.
Anyways, if you take the time to really enjoy the shit out of a sauna, it's so fucking awesome. It's the greatest.
I don't know, man. I don't understand how hot could be good. I could sit in a freezer.
No, it's amazing. You have to come up and do this. Because you go up there, you sit in there until you can't stand it anymore. Then you go out and jump in the lake.
Is it like a detox kind of thing?
I don't
know. Sweating out the toxins? Or I guess you weren't drinking, so I guess...
That's a bunch of bullshit.
Wow.
I was on mushrooms.
Well, there you go. Let's go. So you canoe up to the cabin.
Yeah.
And when do the mushrooms come in?
I don't know, at some point. Well, see, here's the thing. You know, I was planning
I'm such a dude that I don't even notice when mushrooms are going into my body anymore. I don't fucking know, baby.
Well, here's the thing. I was planning on just going up and just doing the mushrooms the one time. But when we got up there, there was this guy up there who has his license to grow and sell medical marijuana in Colorado.
Really?
So he shows up at Stacy's dad's friend's house and... he just has all this insane weed, and he's pulling it out, and he's like, this one's called ice cream, and this one's called whatever.
This one will make you talk like Max Headroom.
This one's called Transylvania because you're dumb, and this one's called stupid duff, and you're whatever. He just had like 8 million different kinds of weed, and, you know, I couldn't not smoke all this different kind of weed because that would be dumb.
Especially for somebody who's sober.
Be like, yeah. It'd be like if you quit eating shakes and then they came out with 8 new shakes and they put them in front of you.
And you were like, and I don't do shakes anymore. And they're like, but these are new.
Right. I can't not
try
a
new shake.
I can't not try a Red Bull shake or whatever. So, yeah. So I tried out the different kinds of weeds and then, I ate some mushrooms. And while I ate the mushrooms, I was trying to cook dinner for everybody.
What'd you make? Don't say mushrooms.
No, I made.
How funny is that?
I made hamburgers and corn. And cut up some vegetables. And that took about 6 hours.
Okay. Now, I'm wondering, was there like a moment of choice when you decided you were gonna break the sober vow? Or
yeah. Well, I had seen all the crazy weed that everybody bought and brought up to the cabin. And I was like, God damn it.
But weed was never your problem, stuff, though. Neither were mushrooms.
Well, I like weed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, as far as we've broken this down, like your problems involve...
My problem was kind of a mixture of weed and beer.
And some just, like, basic old-school depression.
Well, yeah, that too.
Like, but I think if you're with your family and your friends and you're fucking getting high, and I don't think there's any depression involved
in that. Yeah, this was kind of like every time we go up there and do this, we just get all fucked up, and I was just going to, like, sit there. Otherwise, it would just be me sitting there watching these three other people
on
smoke
mushrooms.
A shitload of weed and do mushrooms.
But let me ask you this. The last time that we talked about this was last summer when we were camping, and you explained it, and, I mean, I think you came while you were explaining it. The first time, like, you were...
But mushrooms?
Was it as good as the first time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It was good. Good for you, buddy.
Well, see, we have these little mushroom candies, and last time we ate one. This time we ate two.
Wait a minute.
So it brought it up.
How many do you think
more.
You'll do next year?
Maybe 5.
I don't get it.
No, you got to stay on track.
Yeah. So,
this is like the Dark Knight of mushrooms experience. Like, the sequel is somehow better than the original.
Right.
It's like Godfather of mushrooms. You are the Godfather of mushrooms.
Or the
I was just thinking that.
Bill and Ted of mushrooms.
This could be like a 4-hour podcast if that's what we're going to get into. Anyway, so Pete did a bunch of mushrooms.
Yeah, and it was cool.
But no,
did you watch Bogus Journey?
No, there was no electricity up there. Otherwise, I would have.
Please note that he pointed to his head when he said that.
But, wait. Sauna. You have to sauna. Like, I was a guy who, the first time we went up there, I was like, sauna, that's just hot. That's
and kind of gay. A little gay.
Yeah, totally gay.
Amen.
Amen. and, yeah, basically when you get done saunaing, you feel like you've gotten massaged by microscopic angels all over every square millimeter of your entire body.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
that
amazing.
That does sound cool.
That sounds wonderful, yeah.
Like, every step that I took felt like I was going to come from my foot touching the ground.
Was this before or after mushrooms?
Sauna'd the entire time. I only did mushrooms one night. Actually, I wasn't on mushrooms when I was in the sauna.
Okay.
I was too busy trying.
So this is
a sauna conversation, more or less.
Well, I was too busy trying to cook while I was on mushrooms. And,
did you find it hard to focus on the intricacies of spicing a meat?
Well, here, have you ever done mushrooms?
Me, no.
The mantra of being on mushrooms is you just do whatever you feel like.
Here's my thing: I'm saving mushrooms, and I'm picking up I'm on like a 5-year pace. Mm. It's like I'm picking up like every 5 years I'm starting something new. So by the time I'm like 70, I'll be fucking shooting up. But I'm like, you know, I'm going like, you know, weed, mescaline, you know, I'm going to snort some coke when I'm turn 40. You know, I don't need to have a drug addiction. I already got way too many problems. But, like, I'm just going to, like, go one at a time. So I think I'll probably hit mushrooms when I'm, like, 45, 50.
I recommend you start earlier. It's pretty great.
All
right. What are you doing right now? Let's get it on.
Let's eat some poop-flavored mushrooms.
Okay. That got weird. But... Let's parlay your orgasmic mushroom experience into the Weird Al show.
How are we
going to
do that?
We are going to, because you ended on orgasmic things, and I know the only thing that can make you come anymore is Weird Al.
I saw Weird Al last night at the fair.
And if you've listened to this show before, you realize, or you know, that Pete hates music to the point that it's almost insufferable. He won't stop talking about it. The only thing he really likes in music anymore... Dire Retards, Weird Al.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's good. And maybe Pantera. You can throw that in.
Walk me through it. How does it go? How do you go to the state fair?
I went to the state fair. We ate a bunch of food.
Go ahead.
I had a camel on a stick.
Huh?
It was a
cigarette?
No.
Oh.
Camel meat.
Oh, okay.
It was meat from a camel.
Deep fried?
I don't know what it was. It just looked like a wrinkly sausage.
Was it... Shallow fried? I got nothing. How do I do this?
It was gross.
How do we talk to each other? Check this out. How's this word?
Weird.
Walk me to the Weird Al concert.
Well, we showed up. I had some deep fried pickles in my hand, and he was playing You Don't Love Me Anymore off of his Off the Deep End record. We found our seats, and...
Well, you didn't even get there on time?
No, because it said 8 o'clock on the ticket, and he usually has an opener. So we're like, let's just go get some deep-fried pickles, everybody. And we went over, and then as we started walking up, we heard Weird Al's voice.
Damn.
And we're like, Weird Al started at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
Pissed.
Wow.
Pissed. So I missed whatever his first song was.
I'm sure it was Grapefruit Diet.
Yes, it probably was. That's a good opener. A song from 10 years ago parodied.
A song from 10 years ago that was a ripoff of a song from 80 years ago. Oh, boy.
Does he plays the parody songs in the concert, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Those were the majority of them, besides Dare to be Stupid, which he played, which was awesome. That's my favorite song.
Wow.
And he has a lot of videos that he plays of him. Like, he does Al TV on MTV.
Yeah. Every time a record comes out, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And he plays a lot of those clips.
Good for him.
Yeah. He played that fake movie preview called Weird, where he says somebody's, like, playing him.
Oh, yeah. It's like a mock of
drug addiction.
Is that on Funny or Die or College
Humor? Yes, it is. If you look up Weird trailer,
God
Weird
damn.
Al, it's awesome.
Wow. So you were just in heaven all night.
Yeah, I was tingly.
Deep fried pickles, boners, and Weird Al.
And accordions.
And according to...
Jim. All right, well, your story now. You barfed.
Way less interesting and way... so much more less involved.
Mm-hmm.
Amphetamine Reptile 25th anniversary party. People,
sure.
That sounds
people,
about right.
Mikey
agrees.
People who know that record label literally will do anything to be a part of it. But, like, they stopped putting out records a long time ago. Growing up, AMRAP was my favorite label ever. It was the one, like, you know, when I'm, like, 14, 15, I'm like, I'm going to be on that label someday. But, basically, they put out records in the late 80s, early 90s. They put out Helmet's first record. Unsane, Melvin's, Cows, all this shit. So they had their 25th anniversary party at Grumpy's, and it was... I fucking hate outdoor shows. You ever go to outdoor shows, Pete?
Yeah.
Really fucking
Weird
boring.
Weird Al was an outdoor show.
I know. But it's one of those things where it's like, it's fun for 5 minutes, and who gives a shit? But all the bands were mostly bands that have been broken up for 10, 15 years, and flew in from various parts of the country to do this show, and... good vibe. It was awesome. Saw a lot of people I haven't seen in a long time. Long story short, well, Shannon Selberg, who was on this show not too long ago.
Episode 20.
Singer from the Cows. Shannon...
Possibly 21.
We left him... When he left here that night, we talked about this show. And I asked if he was going to do anything for it. And he said, nah, probably not, just because he didn't want to get on stage anymore. And fucking he's done. So I'm like, nah, well, there goes half a boner. And sitting there, hanging out. Maybe... You know, a been there for about 4 or 5 hours. And I hear his goddamn bugle that he plays, which, by the way, he can't play at all, which is awesome. And so Shannon plays the Star Spangled Banner and then goes in to sing the song called Shaking, which we played on this podcast with a band called the fucking God Bullies, I believe. So that was a highlight of that. Anyway, long story short, I drink a shitload of PBR and do a bunch of shots, saw a bunch of people I hadn't seen, had a blast, came home, had some people over. It was fun. 29 years old. Ended the night by puking in my own sink. Kitchen sink, by the way. Not the bathroom sink, like an adult. In my own kitchen, puking into my sink, laughing about how fucking ridiculous my life... Oh, I'm by myself. Did I mention that? Yes.
Yeah.
Sitting by myself, vomiting into my own kitchen sink, onto some dishes that I'd just eaten off of. And then peed on the rug. So... your mushroom story, your orgasmic, like, you know, transcendent mushroom story, seeing Weird Al, sauna, all that shit gets parlayed into me being a fucking massively fat, drunken blob watching rock and roll, then puking into a sink.
Look, you got a sauna.
No, I got that.
Just come in sauna.
I got that.
I just want to see you naked in a sauna.
I just feel bad that I...
Mikey, come in the sauna.
Can we sauna?
Yes.
I feel like this says a lot about... You guys in the contrast,
sure.
in the two hosts. Like, I transcended and had microscopic angels rubbing my penis, mm-hmm. and you are using your penis to pee all over your sink and your dishes.
Let me finish. Let me finish the story. So there was a wrap up party the next day at Grumpy's Northeast, and I was like, oh fuck it, I'm gonna go to that.
And I was
sure.
throwing up all over there and peeing all over there.
It was awesome. And you know, a bunch of bands that I went to see when I was in my teens, like fucking Calvin Crime was playing and all this stuff. I was like, yeah, I'm going to definitely go to that. So I woke up and I'm literally cross-eyed. And I was like, yeah, well, fuck it, whatever. So when I wake up hungover these days, I do one of two things, or both. I take a monster shit and then I pig out in varying orders throughout the day. So I did both of those things, thinking that it would just make me miraculously not hungover anymore. I went to the Northeast party and proceeded to have about half of one beer, nearly shit my pants, start crying, and then drive home and sleep until fucking Tuesday. So that's where I'm at in my partying phase. So maybe it was a good thing that you stopped drinking and that we're both turning 30 because we cannot have fucking embarrassing moments like this in public anymore.
Yeah, no, that story was upsetting. Like,
point of my story is support AMRAP Records and
can I like buy you a coffee or something? Like,
you can
feel
buy me,
bad
you
now.
You can buy me some feelings and everything.
That's why partying in the woods is great, because it's not in public.
If somebody parties in the woods, is there anybody around to hear it?
No.
Awesome.
That's the best part.
Awesome. So we turned a proverb into a story about mushrooms. Okay.
So, do you like meat?
I love meat.
Do you want to hear a song by a band called Yellow Meat?
Who doesn't?
I was just thinking I did, yeah.
Or possibly not called that. Who knows?
Well, this is called Yellow Meat, and their song is called Amputee. Unbelievable. Unbelievable job by Yellow Meat.
Great. All that shit.
I approve.
Hey, Brent.
Yes, Pete.
Would you like to do some week late news?
It's funny, it doesn't have to be. Like, we could totally upload this tomorrow and it could just be day late, but that's not the kind of people we are.
Mm-mm.
We're on a schedule.
Well, if you want to edit it all tonight and put it out tomorrow, then
my birthday.
Fine with that. You go right ahead.
It's my birthday.
But some people have three jobs and have other things to do, and go ahead.
I hate it so much when you guys fight.
I know. It really makes me upset.
I kind of like it.
Today is September 2nd, 2010, which, if you're a complete twat, you realize is 90210. Now, I'm not the only person who noticed that, because there is...
Somebody posted that on Facebook today, and I was like...
That feels like a group thing.
Why did they do that?
But the thing that's fucked up is, like, there was, like, parties for it. Mm. Like, there was a group on YouTube that had, like, a whole, hey, check it out, International Beverly Hills 90210 Day. And this just, like, goes
Do
to...
they have sideburns and Brandon Walsh?
Oh, God, are you kidding me? Their internet has sideburns on it. Their computers do. But it's, like, one of those things where people love themes. It's, like, not theme songs. Like, the whole 2012 thing is obviously the biggest crock of shit.
I want to hear the theme song to Beverly Hills 90210.
Well, we'll put it in right here. But, like, people just love that whole theme. Like, you know, like, if it's something to celebrate. Like, if it's, today is 0-H-0-H-0-H. It's 888 day. What's great with H? Poop. Like if people just love to have that thing where it's 9/11 day.
See what... poop has to do with...
People celebrate 9/11 day for a completely different reason.
No, I know, but people just, like, they look for, like...
9/11 seems more like a poop day to me.
If you want to get into semantics, every day is a fucking holiday in some way or another. Like,
well,
we don't need
what
to...
What does 8 have to do with poop?
When is Saved by the Bell Day? Because I'm looking forward to that one.
Like,
I don't fucking know, you guys, but I don't think we should put
you
a fucking...
You would think that 2202 would be poop day, because that's number two.
It's just a weird thing to celebrate. A shitty TV show from the fucking 1990s.
Or like 00002. 00 month? 0 day?
I don't know.
It's the brief second between December and January.
Oh, okay. 02. We have to wait till 3002 for that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably won't be around then.
I will.
Well, he's a survivor.
But people like to have things. They love their things, and this is a perfect example of why people have to have their things.
Look, Brent, you don't know because you're not 30 yet.
I'll be 30 in 3 weeks, and I guarantee won't be celebrating fucking Melrose Place Day.
Wow, you're so grown up, Brent.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm sorry.
How dare you? No, I understand. You're a 30-year-old cunt now instead of a 29-year-old cunt. I get it.
Look, things change when you get to be 30, and you aren't as happy and chipper as you used to be.
Oh, yeah, because you were just such a fucking ray of sunshine before.
Yes, I was. Kiss
my butt, America.
I was dancing on a unicorn rainbow, and then I turned 30, and I grew up.
Now look at you.
I pulled up my big boy pants and
world weary and
started eating some granola for fiber. And
hey, did you ever see that show... that thing about T.I. on MTV2 where he was like he was going to go to jail, so he was going to do a bunch of good things. Did you ever see that?
No.
Oh, that's nice.
This guy, I can't name you a T.I. song to save my life. I don't know what the fuck T.I. is. I just know his name. I know that he got some gun charges, and then he, in order to, I'm sure, to reduce his sentence, he was going to get sentenced, and then he did a show on MTV2 about how great of a guy he was. He went around and did charity and stuff, right? And then he made this quote, which is fucking hilarious. This is a rapper, and he said, "A responsibility to be a role model as a father, yes, as a man." This is my black guy voice, if you can't tell. "As a man, as a public figure, yes, that responsibility just leads me to do what I feel is right and to conduct myself with the moral standards, principles, and integrity that were instilled in me by my family." So T.I. said all this shit, right? And then, like, he got arrested for fucking doing drugs again, which is hilarious. And which means he'll do a shit whack of jail time because they don't like when people say that. But this is the weird thing. Did you see the Paris Hilton thing, Pete?
Which one? The video?
No. My God. She got arrested for having blow on her again.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. And she blamed it on her friend and said it was makeup
or
something.
Because that's how you do that. But, this is just makeup. Then she puts them in her eye. And, But this says, this dude, his name is Tip Harris.
Is that short, long for T.I.?
I believe it is. It's like his full name.
Right.
T.I. is his nickname.
So you're saying that for his rap name, he just dropped one letter from his first name?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't want to P in your name. Trust me, my name's Pete.
Plus you don't want to pee on anything. But anyway, he was arrested.
No, you don't. Pee is gross.
He was arrested by L.A. deputies on suspicion. Whatever, all this shit. He had a bunch of dope on him in L.A. You know how fucking easy it is to get...
Wait, what kind of dope? Like weed?
No, he was smoking dope. That's how they pictured that. He was smoking weed in his car.
They give you that shit when you get off the
That's
plane.
That's what I'm saying.
They just hand you a big brick.
How easy is it to get a fucking license to smoke weed legally?
Yeah.
And no, like, they get you put on a list, man.
Dude, like...
You get put on a list.
But I don't, like... A, how do you not cover your base on that one? Be like, yeah, I'm T.I. I forgot the P in my name because I'm dumb. And now I got to fucking smoke some dope. Like... These fucking
it's
rappers.
The conversation
these,
he had
I'm
with
sure
himself.
It was. It was whatever. But how do you not like get that like? Or check this out. This is awesome too. Just don't smoke weed in your car. Wait till you get home. Go home and then smoke some weed.
Well, what
T.I.
is that?
I don't know. But
I
I'll
guess
tell
you could have driving games at home. But then you gotta buy one of those wheels. It gets to be a pain in the ass.
Or you could have a real driving game, and just get a fucking get a permit to do it. Whatever. These people are just out of their fucking minds how dumb they are. Fuck you, T.I. You're a weirdo. Well, I went on this TV show and told us I was going to be a good guy. And then
you
I
know, there's something to be said about people who are so good that they have to go on television to tell people how good they are.
Oh, no, he's not good, is the thing.
Well, that's my point.
Oh.
So, how sure are we?
Are we on the same side on this one?
Yeah.
Wow.
What a piece of shit.
You guys want to hear some Kanye West Twitters?
You guys want to hear some Kanye West Twitters?
Well, I'm in need.
Did you want to hear the Jason? Rah,
rah. Indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger.
Kanye West Twitters.
Way over time.
You want to hear some Kanye West Twitters?
These are the only reason that you should go on the internet anymore. Is to just read Kanye West ridiculous Twitters. I'm going to scratch my ass and then we're off. All right.
He really did it, folks.
Kanye
really
West
Twitter, scratched his ass.
Number one. And I'm wearing basketball shorts, which is so ironically funny.
Well, you just got done playing basketball, so why wouldn't you be wearing
I've never even met somebody
shorts.
Who's heard of basketball.
I've heard of basketball.
Kanye West Twitter, number one. I'm going to read this in his inflection, which I'm assuming this is the way he types them. Yo, why people got to make their internet password so damn complicated? So if you heard that, Kanye West wants to know why you make your passwords...
I don't know why he would say that. My internet password for everything is one.
But Kanye West is trying to hack into your shit.
But mine's not complicated.
No.
Neither is anybody else.
Kanye West doesn't know if it's the number one or you're typing O-N-E.
Yeah.
And
well, he doesn't
or
have W-O-N.
And he's just like, why is it so complicated?
He doesn't have time to type in all three of them.
I guarantee he typed in... One, he was trying to hack into like Jay-Z's email, and it was like, and he was like, password, Jay-Z, damn it! And then he went on Twitter because this motherfucker Twitters like every 5 to 6 minutes. I'm not lying to you. Kanye
Jay-Z
West.
At gmail.com. Beyonce. God damn it. Beyonce with a 3 instead of an E. God damn it.
The Hova. Motherfuck. Yeah, this is, he hates that your passwords are so complicated. So clean them up, people. Make them all across the board. Farts. Okay. Do you know where to find marble conference tables? I'm looking to have a conference. ... Not until I get the table, though. I don't know why Mitch Hedberg did that last part of it. Kanye West wants to he wants to talk about shit, but he's not going to do it on a normal table.
Right.
And by the way, why would you go to Twitter for that? Like, wouldn't you just go to the...
Because it's important.
At Kanye West. Dude, I've got this garage full of marble conference tables.
Right.
If you're around.
But he's like... He can have, like, fucking Parisian shrimp in your mouth by three... Like, but just go to the table store, Kanye. They have tables of every... Whatever.
So, what do you think that Kanye West would say at his conference?
This guy would be like, suits... Jackets, shoes, rap music, peanut butter, I'm out. That's like, conference.
And then he goes, hold on a second, y'all. I got to Twitter what I just said.
He goes, "What? I'll break it into three Twitters. All right. And we're off.
Pot one, peanut butter. Pot two, teeth.
part three. What I just typed? Oh, yeah. Part four.
Part four. I'm having a conference at a marble table right now with all kinds of white people.
Kanye West says, yo, I ain't gonna lie. The diamond teeth be looking crazy dope with tux jackets. The juxtaposition, what? Fuck it.
Juxtaposition.
The juxtaposition is what I live for. That's what Kanye West lives for, is the juxtaposition.
Why is that a juxtaposition?
Let me ask you this. As a man who cannot, for the life of him, figure out the difference between 2TO and TOO, you think he knows what the fuck juxtaposition means? Fuck no. Somebody hacked into his shit and typed that.
Shouldn't the, I guess juxtaposition is two things next to each other. But if you're
two things that are opposite. So,
right. Yeah.
Is the suit classy, but the gold teeth are not classy?
Well, I was thinking, like, maybe he has hobo teeth, or you could get those redneck teeth out of the vending machine, which they don't really make for black people because they don't have the right color gums. But they could get.
I'm just going to get going, everybody.
Well, they don't have white gums on those?
They have different colored gums than white people do.
Do you believe that the false teeth industry has been overlooking this
yes, they have.
For so long?
They have. Because you can't go like, oh, well, the black people are not born with black hair. That's not politically correct.
Well, but
they are!
You can notice it, you just can't say it. Like, wow, sorry. White people have...
That's our white agreement, Pete.
Black people have pink palms. I'm not supposed to know that, though. That's inside information. That's in like behind enemy lines.
Keep it quiet.
Pete, you've been 30 for 33 minutes.
What?
You've been 30 for 33 minutes.
Yeah.
Good job.
Well,
let me be the first to say...
complimenting me on how stupid I am.
Way to not die for over 30 years.
This is 12 years longer than 14-year-old Pete thought he was going to live.
I was going to be like, you know, when you're 60, this is 30 years longer than 30-year-old Pete thought he would live. I thought those pills would kick in sooner. Anywho, should we get the fuck out of here?
No.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's thank Mikey.
Mikey, thanks for coming, man.
You wanted to plug some things, right?
Not just my butt.
I wanted to plug just one thing.
That'll go in the bin.
Do you have a website?
Yes. The podcast that I do is called Right But Also, and it's rightbuttalso.com. That's it's a one T butt.
Okay, good.
But don't you also have some kind of blog where you post art or something?
I guess Tumblr, Mikey from SU, Mikey from SU, .tumblr.com.
What's the SU stand for?
That's a story.
That's an old web comic of his called Still Entitled.
God, you told that story much better than I could have.
Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna explain the comic, and there's no need to. There was no need to do that.
Nope.
How dare you?
And the Mug
Club.
Saved
us all some time.
The Mug Club. Mm-hmm. All right. Is that all you have?
Stay tuned for Wrestling Dudes.
Yes.
On Showtime.
Wrestling Dudes.
It's called Wrestling. There's a lot of apostrophes in that title.
Uh-huh.
I guess Twitter. Can I plug the Twitter? Mikey from SU.
Everybody stop listening to what he just says. Stop.
Don't go to it.
It was etiquette,
damn it. I wanted to ask permission.
Right. Both of you guys are never allowed in my house again.
Mikey from SU at Twitter.
Or it's at Mikey from SU.
At Mikey from SU.
Yeah.
I know Twitter, bitch.
If you're on Twitter, you know how it works.
All right.
Twitter's the best.
Mikey, you keep, you show all the Hollywood fucks how we fucking roll out here.
I will.
Yeah, plug Hollywood real quick.
If you guys are interested in Hollywood.
Check out hollywood.ca.gov. The CA stands for California.
Mm-hmm.
I made that up.
The .gov stands for...
The Governator.
The Governator. Arnold Schwartz or something?
I thought it meant Governor.
Schwartz
the thing
Salamander.
On your car that regulates the speed.
Of how fast you go back in time. Sometimes you just can't end a podcast. You gotta find the right. Yeah, it's like a dismount in gym.
Believe me, I know.
Let's all just count to three and scream and throw our microphones in the air.
What have we learned from Russia? It's all about the dismount.
Where are they?
The
bad
gymnastics
at
thing. No,
are
I mean you can suck. Whatever.
Well, how about the uneven bars? Did they not do well at that?
Fuck you. You're dead to me, Mexico.
Happy birthday to you.
First
Show notes and past episodes, go to TwinCitiesTank.com or our network's website at
PensyPenceGangsters.com.
If you're a local band or you're coming to the Twin Cities, send a professionally recorded MP3 to TwinCitiesTank@gmail.com and we'll play it on the show. Help us out by telling your friends about our show, going to iTunes, rating, subscribing, leaving comments. TwinCitiesTank@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much for listening.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, what's the matter, little friend? You think this party is the best? Enjoy it while you can. We'll soon be blown to bits. The monkeys in the Pentagon are gonna cook our goo.